Blog Talk Radio.
Figured I'd play that first before it gets banned. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. You have to know who's going to hurt you, and I've got a list in chapter 2, I think, of everybody that can hurt you. How you doing, boys and girls? I saw something beautiful yesterday. I got to share it with you. Today is a beautiful day. It's a day that will live in infamy. It's the day I got married. a bigger mistake I would gladly make again. But I'll tell you, I saw something beautiful yesterday, and I got to share it with you, because all they show you in the media world is the horror of America. But I saw the beauty of America yesterday. I was visiting an elderly lady in a nursing home, and I sprung her from the TV room, and I wheeled her down to the ground floor and out to a beautiful promenade with flowers and benches, and we had it all to ourselves. There was only one guy there, and he was sitting on a bench, and I looked under the bench, and I could see, I said, oh my, that's funny, he's got one shoe on and one sneaker. And as I got closer, I realized it was two people. And as far as I can estimate, it turns out, like, this guy was, he must have been about 6 foot and about 250 pounds, and he had taken a woman out of a semi-wheelchair with pillows, and he had put her on the bench. They have like little park benches for two, and she was sleeping on his shoulder, and it was his mother. And I said to myself, there was a time in his life when he used to sleep on his mother's shoulder. So what goes around does come around. And it was very beautiful. So having said that, let me hit you with a UN address. And let's see, I recorded this a couple of days ago, so let's see what it sounds like.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States will now address the United Nations.
I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing, it is song time. Running soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in CIX. I even know my mammy waiting for me, praying for me down by the the folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. I love the old folks at home. Even though my mammy waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee, the folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore.
Good bird imitation, though. I think that was a titwillow. No, it was a mockingbird. Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party Book.com. If you don't get the book, you can't tell. You won't have a scorecard. You won't know who the players are. The House and the Senate is infected with bribe takers and flag burners and baby killers. And if you don't get rid of them, they're going to get rid of you after they break you. Stock market's doing good. It's up 50 points today. And gold is up $10 an ounce. It's up to, I think, 1,010 bucks. And I'll know when the market's doing good, when my Yahoo stock goes back up to the $30 I paid for it. Everything's going wrong. Let me tell you, if we ever had a depression in this country, if you thought the suicide rate was high in 1929... the streets would be littered with bodies. Yeah, when they go to the unemployment office and the windows are closed and it says, next teller, please, we're all going to be in trouble. But right now, everything's hunky-dory. There's a few terrorists in New York City, and my theory is they've come to get Ahmadinejad. Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden has sent them to kill Ahmadinejad and make it look like the Americans did it. So, we'll soon see. And I understand that Muammar Gaddafi is sleeping with Donald Trump. Yeah, Donald Trump, the guy that axed Miss California after pretending to be her friend. Yeah. Put your hands in the hands of the man from Trump Towers. I was reading a book on nasty quips that people say about other people, and this one applies to Trump. A greater love hath no man that he lay down his friends for his life. Yeah, somebody in the 1800s had that to say about a political figure. It was very good, very, very catchy. But Donald, I've got it in for Donald. I'll tell you why. First off, he could have run for mayor and he didn't, okay? Instead, we're going to get the three-time winner. Yeah, Mr. No Competition. The mayoral race in New York City is like a Saddam Hussein running for president. The only difference is Mayor Bloomingdale puts out ads saying what a good guy he is. Oh yeah, he saved the city. There's been no crime. Meanwhile, there's apartments full of Iranians that are drawing train stations on the living room walls. Yeah. Oh, but we got everything under control. You got nothing under control. Nobody has anything under control. We're the same as we were before 9/11. And Obama is bringing us back into Jimmy Carter days. Pretty soon, there'll be another embassy seized, and we'll see how he does on that one. It'll probably be the American embassy in Washington, D.C. Yeah, oh, God. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. But the stock market's doing good. We're all going to get our money back. And Obama's going to get the credit for it, whether he deserves it or not. Yeah. It's very interesting. Everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop, but apparently people are putting on nylon stockings. We're all right. We're going to be fine. But you know what I saw last night that broke my heart? It broke my heart. I watched a documentary called The Last Truck. And it was the closing of a truck plant, a GM truck plant in Michigan. And I saw my fellow countrymen. I saw grown men crying. I saw women who have given the best years of their life to an assembly line, and believing the assembly line would be there forever. And I saw them crying. And one woman said, you know, I just came off a hard time. I have a daughter on drugs. And when she said that, I smashed my hand into my fist into my hand, and I said the F word. And I said, this is what's killing America. We're dying a slow death. And goddamn drugs takes out 1 out of 5 Americans. It's terrible. It's an absolute curse. And it's too big a business to stop. I once wrote Curtis Lewa. I asked him, I figured if anybody could run for mayor and beat drugs, it would be him. And I said, why don't you run for mayor and beat drugs? And I never heard from him. And he took a couple of bullets in a taxi cab. Could you imagine what they would do to him if he went to war on drugs? My God, we have really lost our country. We only got a few servicemen that are fighting to keep us all alive. I don't know what we're going to do. I really don't. And one of those workers that was interviewed, oh, the thing that got me about that, they show them on the last day bringing their tool chests out. Now, I don't know if you know what a tool chest costs, but when you see a guy that's got on rollers a stacked toolbox, you're looking at about $40,000. Okay, and that's going to go in that guy's garage now and collect dust. He doesn't need his tools anymore. And the girl that was doing the interview, to me, she was a college-educated sadist. And she was saying, well, what are you going to do now, interview? And all these guys are driving GM vehicles. You know, they backed their company. They supported their company. They bought the product that was coming off the line. Loyalty par excellence. And they interviewed this one guy, and he said, you know, the best part of my life is over. I feel sorry for my grandchildren. And you're going to hear that, because one day we're going to run out of BS jobs. We're going to run out of all this make-believe crap. And we're all going to be in trouble. I was in the dentist today. I picked up a Business Week magazine, and on the cover it shows American industry. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to finish off with the stragglers, and we're going to have nothing. And that's not the way you win wars, and that's not the way you build an economy. And this government is taking the place of the business world, and everybody will be standing in line like a longshoreman lining up for the mob, hoping they call your number today. When the taxpayers can't foot the bill for the government can't pay the government employees. And that party is going to be over. And yet these people are squandering money like it's going out of style. It's disgusting, absolutely disgusting. It's unbelievable. And I saw those people out there in Michigan, and I, you know what bothered me the most? As all these people were saying goodbye to their future. They were walking away, and they still had a soft pot. They didn't curse the job they had. They were tough people. But you know who was missing from the lineup? There wasn't one goddamn politician there to give them solace. Not one. All the politicians were too busy lining their pockets and hiding. Not one politician came out and bled with them. Not one. Scum. Political scum. The biggest mafia in the history of the world. The House and the Senate. Fire them all. Get rid of them all. They're totally out of touch with reality. And let me go back to New York and what's going on here with the three people that were arrested by the FBI. So far, and we're getting little bits of pieces of information, and nobody knows what's going on, including the FBI. And I'm praying that they are on the ball, but I got a feeling that they're not. So far, this guy, what's leaked out is that their targets were football stadiums and a major shopping center. And if you go back into my archives, I told you that this guy doesn't need one big explosion in one location. He can have 50 small explosions in 50 locations. And if you're going to see the day when American mothers are putting Kevlar coating on baby carriages before they go shopping. And when he hits that network, we're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. And I got a picture in tonight's paper. They got a Coast Guard guy standing at the ferry with a machine gun. He's standing where the people, you know, they just passing through. And he's standing there with a machine gun. And never forget that before 9-1-1, we were jam tight and jelly free. We were untouchable. And now this man has taught us that we are not untouchable. And he doesn't have to come with nukes. He's just got to come with small bombs in 50 malls. And that's the end of shopping safely. And then we're going to be Big Israel. And speaking of Big Israel, you see, Israel is getting ready. And you know what? It's ironic because this administration was selling out Israel to give the upper hand to the Palestinians. And now they're going to have a war on their hands that they're going to have no control over. You can't arrest Israeli troops and put them in jail like you can do to American troops. It's going to get interesting. It's going to get interesting. Hang in there. I'll give you some music. Maybe you need a lot of music. Let's see. As far as global warming goes, it's a bunch of crap. Every time they show you a drowning polar bear, just remember this. The drowning polar bear is faking it. He's trying to lure the seals into trying to rescue him. And then he's going to have lunch. These polar bears can dive 30 feet down in the water. They can swim for 30 miles. And do not worry about polar bears. Polar bears will be here long after we're gone. And don't worry about global warming. If you want to see global warming, picture this. Two nuclear mushroom clouds over New York. That's global warming. And that's what you should be worried about. And never forget, the Democrats will always take the eye off the prize. They will have you looking in the wrong direction while they move the shells around. They will never show you the true issue that they're undermining the country with. They'll have you on a wild goose chase. And today the enemy is greenhouse gases. I don't even own a greenhouse. What a joke, greenhouse gases. Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, you know, the glaciers are melting. Yeah, great. Bring them down to California so the farmers can have some water. Hang in there. Don't buy this global warming crap. It's just creating jobs for the wrong people. And when they talk about investing in green industries, that's creating jobs for the wrong people. And I'll tell you what we do need. We need more oil. We need lots of oil. Plenty of oil. Pump it, baby. Pump that oil. Drill that oil. Have you heard anybody say drill, baby, drill? Since President... Sandman got elected. Drill, baby, drill. We need oil. This country runs on oil. Give us that Earl. Olé, olé.
sei Maria Dolore, quando sei che mal d'amore, quando sei in mare a tua vela, quando sei in mare a dolore, quando sei in mare a dolore, quando sei in mare a dolore, quando sei in mare a tua vela, quando sei in mare a dolore. Baila, 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 baila,
chance, oh baby.
Thank you.
in a saloon in New Mexico. Three gunslingers bellied up to the bar. They had come out of retirement, and they were heading to Washington to call out the communists in an OK Corral stand. The three were Butch Cheney, the Sundance Kid, George Bush, and the Rumsfeld Marshal. And they were heading. Last seen riding towards Washington. If you go to my website, I have a picture of George Bush in a black overcoat with the collar up, wearing a cowboy hat, and there's a fire in the background. And that's his most macho picture. And I also have the three of them, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, who was charged with being a loser, but nobody ever presented a list of the charges. It was hearsay. It was just a slur that was carried on by wimps, carried forward by wimps who never served their country. Rumsfeld put more time in the men's room than these wimps could ever dream of functioning. Unbelievable. And Bush, of course, you know, Dan Rather played the dirty little coward who shot Mr. Howard in the back. And you see what happened to Dan Rather. He's on Sandal Hill with Zarqawi now. Yeah, I have the three of them are standing, and they look like they're about to draw. They're standing in down by Crawford, Texas, on a cattle trail, and they've all got open white shirts on, you know, and they all look like they're about to draw guns. I gotta circulate it. Yeah, and that's what's gonna happen. They're gonna ride into Washington D.C. and they're gonna gun down the Attorney General. So add to the Magnificent Seven. You could throw Rudy Giuliani in there. You could throw the Mormon, okay? We could elect a Muslim, but we couldn't elect a Mormon. How's that? Isn't that something, huh? How one slur works and another slur is considered racist? Yeah. And who else we got? That's five, right? Magnificent Seven. Oh, Norman Schwarzkopf. He's six. Instead of that imposter, what's his name, that jumped ship? Powell. Colin Powell. Yeah. So who will be number seven? Who would be... Oh, I know. You know who will make number seven? The Marine lieutenant that they tried to crucify for fighting back. Do you remember his name? I don't remember his name, but I'll tell you where his picture is. It's on the Spirit of America Party book.com. And his picture is there. And that makes the Magnificent Seven. Could you see that gunfight? And Dick Cheney with his shotgun. Bush with two six-shooters. And that would be some gunfight. Could you see John Kerry telling everybody that he's not wearing? You're all my witness. I'm not wearing a gun. He's trying to force me to draw. I don't have a gun. And then somebody says, give him a gun.
Okay. Final stand, okay. Correct. Oh, my dearest one must die. Lay down my gun or take the chance of losing you forever. Duty calls, my back's against the wall. Have you no kind word to say before I? Fired at OK Corral. If the Lord is my friend, we'll meet at the end of the gunfight at OK Corral. Gunfight at OK Corral. Boot Hill, Boot Hill, so cold, so still. Killers that died in the gunfight at OK Corral. OK
I was watching an interview of people on the street, and they were asking questions, you know, that are sort of historical, and most people should know the answer, and nobody knew the answer. And one of the questions was the Second Amendment, and I noticed that all the girls that were asked about guns, they wanted to outlaw guns, and I got to tell the NRA, fellas, you're missing the boat. You've got a whole market out there that needs to be educated. You'll always have your dyed-in-the-wool gun bearers, okay? Hunters and guys that were raised with guns and will always have guns, and they know better not to give them up. You know, if they give up one, they got eight more buried, you know. Let's face it. And every time you see a gun movement in the United States where they're trying to take the guns away, that's the time to go out and buy two more. But NRA boys, you're missing the boat. You should be educating the women. The women have been conditioned to be afraid of guns. And that's why they're intimidated by guns. Okay? If they women who know how to handle guns are not intimidated by guns and have a genuine respect for guns just like we do. Go after that market. And you want to know something? You get New York women carrying guns, and they're not going to take no for an answer when they go to get their permit. They're not going to back away. They're going to stand there and insist on their rights. So teach them their Second Amendment rights, and teach them how to shoot. And teach them not to be afraid of guns, that the gun is their best friend in extenuating circumstances.
We were sailing away with a cargo of bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York. Twas a wonderful craft, she was rigged for a laugh. You know how the wild wind drove her. She stood several blasts, she had 27 masts, and they called her the Irish Rover.
We had 1 million bags of the best loyal rags. We had 2 million barrels of stone. We had so I'll fly her to size. We have 4 million barrels of bones. We have 5 million hogs, 6 million ducks, 7 million barrels of porter. We had 8 million files of old nanny golf tiles and a horse of the Irish Rover.
There was Elf Mickey Toot, who played hard on his flute when the ladies lined up for the skin. He would toot with skill for each sparkling quadrille, till the dancers were Fluker and Betts. With his smart, witty talk, he was cock of the walk, and he rolled the dame under and over. They all knew at a glance, but he cock of his stance, and he sailed in the Irish Rover.
the President of the United States will now address the UN General Assembly. Oh, excuse me. It's the other President of the United States who will address the UN General Assembly. Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the UN General Assembly. Please rise now for the Pledge of Allegiance. And my favorite tune. Keeping in mind that we lost 3,000 Americans on 9/11, 2,800 at the World Trade Center, and 200 who were in the wombs of their mothers who died on 9/11. So that's a 3,000 body count. Add to that the 4,500 Americans who have given the final and ultimate sacrifice to keep us all from being butchered by mad Muslims. I am here today to bring us all together, but first I got to call a few accounts into order. I'd like to give a shout out to Muammar Daffy Duck Gaddafi, Nee Lockerbie, for putting one airline company out of business, and you will not be allowed to leave the building. You're under arrest. I also suggest to all you terrorist supporters that are under indictment, which are now being handed out by the clerk, and that when you try to leave the building, if you're just an innocent bystander, point out the ones whose names are on the indictment list so that the snipers do not take you out by accident. Oh, by the way, I'd like to acknowledge that Muammar Gaddafi now owns England and Scotland. He picked it up on an oil for traders deal. I see the Palestinians are here. Oh, you all got suits on today. Oh, it's nice to see you, see all these trainees for terrorism all in one spot. Yes, what are we teaching today? How to blow up pizzas? My job as the other President of the United States is to bring us all together after we separate the wheat from the chaff. And I'd like to introduce our new Secretary to the UN, Joe Olson? My God, my memory's going. It's John Bolton and his assistant, Joe Pesci, who's going to be a made man after he pistol whips the French ambassador. I'd like to apologize to the people of Poland and Czechoslovakia for being double-crossed by the former president, who's now living in exile in Kenya, his native land. He will be allowed to take sabbaticals to Indonesia to attend Madras training. And I'd like to say a little prayer for the Prime Minister of Pakistan, who's two bullets away from losing control of the nukes to Al-Qaeda. I see Hugo Chavez is here today, known and loved by his people, and who call him El Pimpo. I think he's going to be transferred to Disney World, where he's going to make the movie The Ugly Duckling. If that head was on a beer, I wouldn't drink it. I think he's going to do a time-sharing with Manuel Noriega very shortly. I'd like to give a shout-out to the people of Honduras who took their country back from the communists. And the head communist is holed up in the Brazilian embassy. Brazil! Boy, that used to be a great country. The only job you can get now in Brazil is making soccer balls. Now Republican Governor Sanford is going to stand and sing, "Nothing could be keener than to be in Argentina in the morning." I see the next one up to speak is Ahmadine Jad. Hey, Ahmadine, can you do anything with that drape that Gaddafi's wearing? Can you talk to Omar, the tent maker, and tell him to put peg 14 in those cuffs? You know, I'm indeed, that before you became whatever you're supposed to be this week, I loved your speech today about how you protect the oppressed. Every word you said, you should have added, except women. No matter what the line was, all you had to do was add at the end of the sentence, except women. And you would have been right on. But in the meantime, the most you should would ever be in New York is a tailor. And your specialty would be French cuffs. In the meantime, Israel's going to give you a spanking. And when those planes flying the Star of David takes out your nuclear facilities, we're all going to sing the Jewish drinking song, Have a Tequila. And I'd just like to remind Mexico, they owe us 30 million barrels of oil a week for the illegal immigrants and drug mules. In Canada, you better shape up and get yourself a health plan. Stop killing your constituents. I'm tired of seeing all these Canadians coming down to New York for health care, holding their stomachs, singing, Oh, Canada. Please rise now for the new United Nations National Anthem. I noticed on that little number that the Syrians weren't dancing. The only time the Syrians dance is when towers are burning in New York City. And then they dance and give out candy, along with Uday Pelosi and Senator Nelson and Bill PLO Dancer Maher. But those people are all gone now. They've been Zarqawi'd. What is that little pipsqueak saying from Iran there, that little, the tailor with no tape measure around his neck? What is he saying? Hey, buy a tie! Do you ever heard of the word Thai City? Go to Thai City, get yourself, you can get 3 for $1. What's he want? He wants to play his national anthem? To be fair and impartial? That's no problem, we can play your national anthem. What country are you from? Are you sure? I'm from Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise and show some respect for the Iranian national anthem. Can you believe this political reject that's running the country? This communist oozing a president of ours stands before the UN and apologizes. He says he put an end to torture. This guy's torturing me. He put an end to torture. You know what? You know what his problem is? He wasn't on the 80th floor at the World Trade Center. You know what his problem is? He's never shed a drop of blood for his country. All he's been doing, he's been on the take. Take me, bring me, and buy me. He's a lemon. And I guarantee you, he started out in his political career with $1 million. Let's see how much he's worth at the end of these 4 years. I'll bet you he beats Clinton's $107 million that we know about. You wait and see. You're going to be sick. But you know what? You're sick already because you elected him. 53% of the country bought his communist line. We're all going to be brothers, comrade. Yeah, sure. So he spent less time apologizing for the United States. He gave away Czechoslovakia, and he gave away Poland. He didn't even ask the Poles or the Czechs how they felt about it. How's that? He's reading Hugo Chavez's book from cover to cover, and he is definitely going to turn the United States of America into one giant urinal for the rest of the world. And if I had my way, I would turn the UN into a Holiday Inn, and I would make it a national holiday the day it happens. You can take all those third-rate nations and you know what to do with them. And you got to listen to Patton. Patton said right after World War II, the rest of the world better look out for itself because we can't do it. And I'm looking for a speech tonight, and if I find it, I'm going to play it for you. Because you're going to have to listen to these words because you're going to hear them again. You heard that sorry speech at the UN today by the president of all the people. You heard that, right? He served up his own country. Now I want you to hear a speech by a guy who rescued another country. I have returned by the grace of Almighty God our forces. Now, by the grace of Almighty God, this is MacArthur speaking, a Christian. Now, you heard Obama speak today at the UN, supposedly a Christian. Did he invoke the name of God? No. But you know who did? And he invoked it at least six times? Ahmadinejad. Not only did he invoke the name of his God, but he invoked the name of his prophets. I have returned by the grace of Almighty God. Our forces stand again on Philippine soil. Soil consecrated in the blood of our two peoples. We have come dedicated and committed to the task of destroying every vestige of enemy control over your daily lives. We have enemy control over our daily lives right now. You have a one-sided government, and it's all on the left side. The House, the Senate, and the presidency are all controlled by a superpower, and you're not part of it. You're the doer. They're the doer. We have come dedicated and committed to the task of destroying every vestige of enemy control over our daily lives and of restoring upon a foundation of indestructible strength the liberties of your people. Hear the words of the first president of the United States. In times of peace, prepare for war. Do you think George Washington would have given Czechoslovakia and Poland back to Vladimir kicking up his heels Putin? The KGB gangster? At my side is your president, Sergio Osmena, worthy successor of the great patriot Manuel Quezon, with members of his cabinet. The seat of your government is now therefore firmly reestablished on Philippine soil. The hour of your redemption is here. The hour of our redemption is gone. Your patriots have demonstrated an unswerving and resolute devotion to the principles of freedom that challenges the best that is written on the pages of human history. That's not being seen in the United States today. I now call upon your supreme effort that the enemy may know from the temper of an aroused and outraged people. Tea parties are considered racist. Know from the temper of an aroused and outraged people within that he has a force there to contend with no less violent than is the force committed from without. And here's how he finishes off his enemies, General MacArthur. And you had to listen to that mealy-mouthed wimp who never served his country, is now in the process of serving it up, telling us he's doing it for the New World Order, apologizing for being an American. How's that for being a coward? Rally to me. Let the indomitable spirit of Bataan and Corregidor lead on as the lines of battle roll forward to bring you within the zone of operations. Rise and strike. Strike at every favorable opportunity for your homes and hearths. Strike for future generations of your sons and daughters. Strike in the name of your sacred dead. Strike. Let no heart be faint. Let every arm be steeled. The guidance of divine God points the way. Follow in his name to the holy grail of righteous victory. Did you know that 500,000 Muslims swore to support MacArthur in the Philippines? Yeah. Hang in there.
Many men will pass this way. Many men will pass the hour as they live so long.
Hi, you boys and girls, it's Captain Boycott. I found this on the internet and I thought I'd share it with you. And then I'll tell you who wrote it. Twice in my lifetime, America, the arsenal of democracy, has come from behind to ensure victory. It is not evident that should another war arise, those producing it will make every effort to see that the arsenal of democracy is knocked out in the first round. How this can be done, I do not know. But I do know that the progress made in airplanes and self-propelled missiles is such that the possibility of an early knockout cannot be discounted. Perhaps a good illustration of what I am trying to put across to you is this. When I went to school, and I presume that is the same now, all of the children were taught how to form in column and march out of the building in an orderly manner in case of fire. This instruction did not, so far as I know, produce fires, but when fire occurred, the lives of the majority of children were saved. If we go to the extreme of saying that preparedness produces wars, then the instruction in fire drills would produce fires. Therefore, we should not teach children that a fire may come, that the building may burn, and as a result of such teaching, have the sad duty of removing the charred little bodies from the ruined schoolhouse. You men are all American citizens, and in your generation, you will have a very large voice in determining the election of our public servants and the enforcement of our laws. I am sure that you have found out that discipline, self-reliance, mutual respect, and faith are necessary in the Army. Those traits are just as necessary in civilian life. Laws which are not enforced had better not be promulgated. Referring again to the fire department aspect of the prevention of war, a very large proportion of the duties of the fire departments in large cities is not the extinguishing of fires, but their prevention through advice and supervision. You men are all potential firemen. You have put out the fire by your heroic efforts. It is now your duty as citizens to see that other fires do not occur, and that you and your children are not again called upon to extinguish them. I have been speaking to you not as your commanding general, but rather as an old man to young men. I am in no way trying to propagandize you, but as I said before, it is my considered opinion that my duty demands that I should explain to you things as I see them. Let me say that it is my profound hope that we shall never again be engaged in war, but also let me remind you of the words attributed to George Washington. In time of peace, prepare for war. That advice is still good. I am firmly convinced that we must have universal training, because the one hope for a peaceful world is a powerful America, with the adequate means of instantly checking aggressors. Unless we are so armed and prepared, the next war will probably destroy us. No one who has lived in a destroyed country can view such a possibility with anything except horror. Man is war, war is conflict, fighting is an elemental exposition of the age-old effort to survive. If we again believe that wars are over, we will surely have another, and damned quick. We had better look out for ourselves and make the rest of the world look out for themselves. If we attempt to feed the world, we will starve and perhaps destroy America. Roman civilization fell due to the loss of the will to conquer, satisfaction with the status quo and high taxes, which destroyed trade and private enterprise. These conditions eventually forced people out of the cities. The cycle is returning. It is very easy for ignorant people to think that success in war may be gained by the use of some wonderful invention like the atomic bomb, rather than by hard fighting and superior leadership. There are a host of people who have to squat to piss, who will say that this will be the last war, and that from now on, we will only need world clubs. They are the ones who will be responsible for the deaths of millions of people. The pacifists are always at it. I met a visiting fireman of supposedly great eminence who told me that this was to be the last war. I told him that statements since 2600 BC had signed such statements. Since 2600 BC had signed the death warrants of millions of young men. He replied with the stock lie, "Oh, but things are different now. My God, will they never learn?" There are all kinds of low-class slime who are trying and will continue to try to wreck this country from the inside. Most of them don't know it, but they're actually working for the Russians. Some of them do know it, though, and it doesn't matter whether they call themselves communists, socialists, or just plain foolish liberals. They are destroying this country. Politicians are the lowest form of life on earth. Liberal Democrats are the lowest form of politicians. I really shudder for the future of our country. Someone must not only win the war, but also the peace. I believe that Germany should not be destroyed, but rather should be rebuilt as a buffer against the real danger, which is Russia and its Bolshevism. The difficulty in understanding the Russian is that we do not take cognizance of the fact that he is not a European, but an Asiatic, and therefore thinks deviously. We can no more understand a Russian than a Chinese or a Japanese, and from what I have seen of them, I have no particular desire to understand them, except to ascertain how much lead or iron it takes to kill them. In addition to his other amiable characteristics, the Russian has no regard for human life, and they are all out sons of bitches, barbarians, and chronic drunks. Russia knows what she wants, world domination, and she is laying her plans accordingly. We, on the other hand, in England and France, to a lesser extent, don't know what we want. We get less than nothing as a result. If we have to fight them, now is the time. From now on, we will get weaker and they will get stronger. Let's keep our boots polished, bayonets sharpened, and present a picture of force and strength to the Russians. This is the only language that they understand and respect. If we fail to do this, then I would like to say we have had victory over the Germans and have disarmed them, but we have lost the war. The one thing that I could not say and cannot yet say publicly is that my chief interest in establishing order in Germany was to prevent Germany from going communist. I am afraid that our foolish and utterly stupid policy in regard to Germany will certainly cause them to join the Russians and thereby ensure a communistic state throughout Western Europe. We have destroyed what could have been a good race of people, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages and all of Europe with communism. Poland is under Russian domination, so is Hungary, so is Czechoslovakia, and so is Yugoslavia, and we sit happily by and think that everybody loves us. It seems to me that Russia has a certain sphere of influence in Korea, Manchuria, and Mongolia. We promised the Europeans freedom. It would be worse than dishonorable not to see that they have it. And that's, I left that, and that's where I finished up. But you know what? You listen to what Patton says, and the enemy is only slightly different. And the day will come when the draft will have to come back, if we have time to assemble. And I do believe his philosophy is right about the next great hit. And I think that when you look at 9-1-1, that was only two planes and that was only two buildings in one city. And God help us if that's 1,000 planes and 1,000 buildings and 100 cities. And anybody who thinks that they're immune because they don't live in New York City is also being very foolish. Talk to you, boys and girls. Here's a tune that was sung by the original cast of World War II, before D-Day.
We'll meet again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
How would you like to be sitting in Afghanistan tonight on the front lines, knowing that back home your president is about to give you the shaft and pull out any kind of support? He's going to pull out the Persian rug from under your feet. How would you feel? How would you like that? How would you like to know that the money that's supposed to be buying weapons will be going to the new acorn that rises up with a different name? This is a bad time in the history of the United States to have a trainee in the White House. I don't want to hear that he made a bad call. This is not the place to make bad calls. We no longer have the luxury of time. Time is fleeting. You know what this war is going to be like? It's going to be cut and paste. It's going to be click and it's done. The winter is coming on us, and those GIs in Afghanistan are going to be sold down the river. At least Bush, no matter what you say about Bush, he surrounded himself with experts. This guy has surrounded himself with people that nobody knows. And none of these people have skin in the game. Not one. You can say what you want about Rumsfeld, but Rumsfeld has been training troops since for the last 50 years. And Cheney knows how to use a shotgun. Bush surrounded himself with people that knew how to get the job done. This guy has appointed all his friends, his little commissars. And he's paying back all political favors. And you know who's going to pay eventually for all those political favors? You and I. We're going to pay for it in tax money and in the blood of our relatives. And maybe our own blood to boot. And where is bin Laden? I thought we went to Afghanistan to get bin Laden. All of a sudden, even the conservatives don't want to be in Afghanistan. How's that for stick-to-itiveness? Huh? Faint heart never won fair lady, right? All of a sudden, they've lost their taste for war. It's a little late to be losing your taste for war. You've got 3,000 dead, pounded to smithereens in New York. You got 4,500 dead that have fought this war for us to protect us, plus maybe 40 to 60,000 wounded. And you're going to say now is the time to pull out on Afghanistan, when for the last 8 years all we heard about was the reason we were in Afghanistan is because we abandoned them after the Russians left. So now we're going to abandon them after the Americans leave. And who's going to fill the void? And how come nobody is shouting, when is Obama going to get Osama? Isn't that why we went to Afghanistan? To put an end, to string up Osama bin Laden, to hang him from the highest helicopter? So the world could see what we do to terrorists? All of a sudden, we're getting queasy. We're in a democratic quagmire. And nobody is asking Obama when he is going to get Osama. Now he's had 8 months and Osama bin Laden is making videotapes right down the street from where he put those troops who he hung out to dry. So, and beware of conservatives who say it's time to pull out of Afghanistan because they're Democrats too. When the first American died in Afghanistan, that was a down payment for victory. And we cannot leave until victory is final.
Now, an army is a team. It lives, eats, sleeps, fights as a team. This individuality stuff is a bunch of crap. The bilious bastards who wrote that stuff about individuality for the Saturday Evening Post don't know anything more about real battle than they do about fornicating. Now, we have the finest food and equipment, the best spirit, and the best men in the world. You know, by God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel. Now, some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
And I hear them talking about, I'm getting worried about Afghanistan, and I'll tell you why. Tonight, they're attacking Karzai. And it seems like the American government just makes one continuous mistake after another. They're saying that Karzai is not the man, so they're going to bring Karzai down. And if you were Mohammed Karzai, and they're accusing him of taking drug money and having this guy, I think his name is Dozum, who is he looks like a real barbarian, and he is he's a drug lord, and he is the head of the military. But you know what? Karzai is alive tonight because of his alliances. And the last thing that we need to do is to create another fall of Diem, like we did in Vietnam. We were responsible for the death of Diem, and we lost Vietnam. Instead of trying to glue the cracks in the wall, we just opened up the walls and lost. And when I see a slow injection of popularity change in the media by both Republicans and Democrats, I get worried. I think that we got to take a good look at Afghanistan. Corruption, they're saying there's corruption in Afghanistan. I got to tell you, there's more corruption in Washington, D.C., in the House and the Senate, than there is in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is small potatoes. And, of course, they're going after drugs in Afghanistan, but they can't go after drugs in the United States because they're taking drug money, including the president of the United States, Bill Clinton, who took drug money, okay? But they're going to go after a small country of starving people for being in the drug market. If they want to win allies in Afghanistan, and they should buy the goddamn drug crop and eliminate all the middlemen. And it would be cheaper to do that than it will be to pay to lose American lives over poppies. And the thing that bothers me the most is that we don't have a handle. We're gonna hang this General McChrystal out to dry. And I did a little research on McChrystal, just a quick scenario lookup on McChrystal. And the two things that they fault him for is he got Zarqawi with two 500-pound bombs in Iraq, and that he overlooked the death of Pat Tillman. I remember when Pat Tillman went to Afghanistan, and the media attacked him for being a jerk, that he gave up like a $12 or $17 million contract for football to go fight for his country. And they called him a fool. And then he was killed in a crossfire. And as far as I'm concerned, the military did the right thing. They beefed up his hero story. And they honored him by not dishonoring him. Okay? It wasn't a cover-up because they shot him by accident. That happens in war. If you don't realize that, then you got to watch World War II footage when artillery shells and planes bomb their own troops. It happens. That's the cause of war. That's the results of war. It can't be helped. In Kuwait, a truck backed up over a guy that was walking behind it. That happens. Should he get combat pay for what happened? Yes. He should get his family should have got $1 million for his loss. So, but I remember how much they hated Pat Tillman for being a patriot. And they all danced with glee when they found out that he was killed in a crossfire. So McChrystal is telling Obama bin Laden that he wants more troops. In other words, he's saying his boys ain't going down without a stink. And that's right. So watch the media, because they shape your mind before they make the move. And just remember, a Mohammed Karzai is a survivor up till now. And if all of a sudden he dies by accident, it'll be because we had something to do with it. And I don't want to see that. I'd rather see a Karzai change his evil ways. But if you want to see what Kabul is all about, you know what you do? Read the poems of Rudyard Kipling. He's got two, one about crossing the Kabul River, and he's got one about the sheikh who was benevolent. He was merciful, the merciful sheikh. And you'll and those two Rudyard Kipling poems, you'll see the heart and soul of Afghanistan and what anybody would be up against who goes in there. And don't buy this crap that the Afghanis beat the British and the Afghanis beat Alexander the Great. They stomped him so bad that when he left, he was Alexander the Grape. Americans are not Greeks. Americans are not Brits. Americans are the top of the line. And having said that, I just want to mention one thing, too, that bothers me. And it's a good lesson for us all to learn. The Northern Alliance was instrumental in winning back Afghanistan from Al-Qaeda. Where is the Northern Alliance in this government structure? Are they represented? And if not, why not? And the other thing, and never forget, Shah Ahmed Massoud was taken out by bin Laden. Now, if you want to see how clever bin Laden is, I'm watching this New York three guys that got caught trying to blow up something. Okay? This is not bin Laden's work. Bin Laden is too clever to get caught. You won't find out about bin Laden's deed until it's done. He does not tip off people. And just think about this. Massoud, who warned us of 9/11, was murdered the day before 9/11, and bin Laden sent two men to go into an armed camp and get next to him and kill him. Two men went into an armed camp of thousands, and they took out Massoud. And they weren't ready, and neither will we be ready when he strikes the third time. So we're all playing catch-up, and we got a president who hates this country. As far as I'm concerned, he has no love for the United States. He never served it. He has only been a tool of people who treat him like a fool. He is George Soros' puppet, and George Soros should be in jail tonight because there's a man who wants to bring down the United States, and he's pulling too many strings behind the curtain. And you're losing your country. I got a picture of the head of the DNC having a gavel in his hand. And then the caption underneath says, "Going once, going twice, the United States of America." And that's what's happening. So with 5 minutes left, I'm going to play a dedication to, if I can find it here, to the troops. See that? When I'm looking for it, I can't find it. A dedication to the troops in Afghanistan. I got it.
Over the mountain, across the sea, there's a girl all waiting for me. Cross all the girl.
Look homeward, angel. Tell me what you see. Do the folks I used to know remember me? Look homeward, angel. Find my lady fair. Does she dream about the love we used to share? So she'll know how very much I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her? Look homeward, angel. One thing I must know. Do her empty arms still yearn for me alone? So she'll know how very much I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her? Look homeward, angel. One thing I must know.
Good night. Say a prayer for your country. Say a prayer for your kids. Talk to you. Take care.